Due to circumstances we totally foresaw, Scott will no longer be on the podcast for being a racist prick.
Superhero Time presents that one episode of Star Trek with Chris.
Blah, 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 you're a big sack of shit.
Hey, Mickey.
Menage a Troi does sound tempting.
Scott.
See how it opens in front of me, then closes as soon as I leave? How convenient. Bye-bye. Sook.
And Fort Max.
I think there's a douchebag in here.
So, this week on that one episode of Star Trek, it's a Deep Space Nine week.
The whole week? The whole week is Deep Space Nine?
And Scott just volunteered to do the summary.
You son of a bitch!
It's right, fantastic so... having that power, isn't it?
Yeah, the thing is, I don't know who, like, gave you that power. I just assume that you have it. So I'm like, okay. Whatever. Whatever you say, boss. Because it ain't your name on the checks that I get.
You get checks?
Yes.
Scott, those aren't checks. Those are loans. You're going to pay those back.
No. I think, no, actually, those are bills, not checks. Like, yeah, I know it says check up at the top, but it's like when you go to a restaurant, they give you guest check.
Well, it did kind of concern me for the first few weeks that it said Bank of Nigeria on it. Yeah. All right, so we're going to watch Deep Space Nine, Season 6, Episode 10, The Magnificent Fringi. Which is obviously a Quark-heavy episode, which I think we're all looking forward to. Did everybody watch it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
I guess the only person who doesn't watch these episodes is me occasionally, so we'll just ignore that and move on.
I think there's been a week or two where Fort Max forgot.
Oh, good.
Just didn't really want to.
Yeah, same thing.
So,
I mean,
yeah.
You know, if you wanted to, you would remember.
Yeah,
that's really all there is to it.
Sometimes we have lives. Sometimes.
Maybe you do. We're not losers like you, Scott. We prioritize these things.
That's true. A very set schedule. It's a grueling schedule, to be honest, making podcasts and doing stuff, because the amount of media you have to take in a day. I mean, it's 18 hours solid of taking in media, and then the other few hours that you're not sleeping, it's writing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know. I've seen you tweeting at like 3 o'clock in the morning. Yep, I'm still editing.
Yep. Of course, those are the odd weeks when we have like 4 shows produced in one night.
Right. Everyone's a little punchy at the end of it.
That and your computer is run by a bicycle you've got rigged up to power it.
Yeah, so my birthday's next week. If anybody wants to, you know, get me a new computer, that'd be swell.
I would be happy to chip in if we want to, like, go to, like, CyberPower and get you a computer.
What is, may not be able to... what is CyberPower?
CyberPower PC? It's a website. You build websites. Are we sponsored now? I think I just get ourselves a sponsor. In no way does this podcast endorse any online PC building company.
Usually when I get a sponsor, it's just telling me to stop drinking.
Yeah, you've gone through how many of them now?
Gotta catch them all.
Nice.
We're not turning this into Pokemon. We're just not going to do it.
Oh, no?
Oh, you don't know how this podcast works then.
Because there's nothing, there is no way, as I wink at the camera, there's no way that you can turn a Deep Space Nine episode into Pokemon. There's just no way.
I mean, you think that now, but just wait until the next Pokemon game comes out. Just you wait.
Oh, I'm waiting with bated breath, I assure you.
I'll tell you, when X and Y came out, admittedly that was a couple of years ago now, but when X and Y came out, basically the entire podcast that week was just everybody playing Pokemon. And not just, really talking about the subject matter.
You're just silent. You hear the clicking of, like, the DS's buttons.
Yeah, basically.
All right. Well, I kind of like this episode, so let's just get into it. Opening shot, there's the station. Apparently there's an Intrepid class there. Going to Quark's bar. Odo's wandering around. Quark comes in way too pleased with himself. Apparently he can tell Bajorans what to do. That's like his power. Because there's like these two Bajoran guys in uniforms like carrying his shit for him.
Well, they saw his coat and assumed that he was a cathedral. And since Bajorans are so religious, they figured we should do what this guy says.
Yeah, yeah. So he comes in, and apparently it's some sort of syrup of squill.
Swill. Squill?
Squill.
Swill?
Squill, with a Q.
Yeah.
Oh, one thing I did like that Chase Masterson and her two best friends are very prominent in this episode, which is nice.
I think it's great you know Lita's actress's name.
I do. I'm like this close to following her on Twitter, but I just can't bring myself to do it.
I have to imagine that's one sad Twitter account in this day and age.
I don't know.
Remember when I had a career back in the 90s?
Remember when she wasn't 60?
I think she does like voiceover work and stuff. I don't know.
On the plus side, she's not Kes.
Oh, Jesus, yes.
Just imagine what Kes will be like when she's 60.
If she's 60.
You mean when she was 60?
I don't know how old is she. Be so lucky to reach that age.
How old is she?
I think she's about meth teen.
You know, most of Voyager was a chore to go through, but I'm glad we did that episode at least just for the jokes it engendered.
Oh, well, like I said, it was all about timing. You know,
yes.
There was a reason why we did it. It was a very good reason. Yeah. All right, so let's stop focusing on past glories. I know we're awesome, but let's forge new memories of...
Scott, after 6 years of this, all we have is past glories.
Of squill.
So Quark's happy that he's stolen several hundred gallons of IHOP's maple syrup.
The raspberry, because it's red. Right, so he's passing along. He's like, oh, they said that there was a drought and they didn't have any in this planet that we get it from, but they were lying, and I basically blackmailed some dude to giving me some. So tomorrow, we're going to have syrup on our pancakes.
Specifically, the relationship that he had with that person.
Yes,
which
Quark.
Was like, yeah, what? Just like someone, secretary's brother's friend.
Second cousin or something, yeah.
Former roommate.
Quark, yeah.
What does
Quark,
that make us?
Quark did a 6 degrees of separation on this.
Right.
The interesting thing is that the syrup of squill did come from Kevin Bacon.
I wonder what happened when you squeeze Kevin Bacon too hard.
You get Kevin Grease?
I didn't know he was in Grease. All right. So, okay, this episode is very strange. It's like the first, like, 10% of it has nothing to do with the second 10%, the second 90%. I don't understand why. It seems like it's setting the audience up for something that never happens.
Well, no, what's happening in this opening section, really, is that we've got to get the main cast to have at least one line of dialogue each in this episode to fulfill contractual obligations.
Yeah.
Then they're going to fuck off while we have a Ferengi episode.
There's also that the first 10% is basically setting up that Quark wants hero worship.
Well,
as a Ferengi,
exactly.
He can only do that through business transactions, but the whole rest of the episode is giving him the chance to do it for real.
Well, we'll tear this apart when we get to it. I have concerns.
No, I'm just saying, like, you say the first 10% has nothing to do with the remaining 90%, but it does, because it's setting up Quark's motivation.
I don't know. Like
Quark, but the whole thing with the Defiant crew coming in, like, oh, we were exploring through the wormhole.
Or that right, they did a mission behind enemy lines.
Right, so Bashir, Dax, and O'Brien come in. And they're all full of themselves and swaggering in, going, oh, we were on a secret mission and we just got back. And everyone cheers them and is like, yay, and blah-de-blah-de-blah. Chase Masterson looks like she's just – or Lita, I guess. It looks like she's about to jump and O'Brien start humping his nose. So, yeah, then Quark gets all – that's exactly what he sounded like. That was an amazing impersonation. So he's all complaining, he's all butthurt that, like, his audience got stolen.
Mm-hmm.
And Odo is, of course, just pouring salt in the wound, going, well, you know you're just a piece of shit, right? Nobody likes you. And you smell bad.
Of course he smells, but he's a Ferengi.
Yeah. So the Grand Nagus, his brother Rom comes up and goes, oh, the Grand Nagus is calling you. So, you know, better watch out for that.
Probably call and collect.
Yeah.
But we don't actually get to see or hear the Grand Nagus this episode.
Yes, again, and that makes an important thing happen in the episode later.
It's just weird. So it's it's one of those kind of setup things that never follows through. There's some things that should have happened this episode that didn't, and they annoy me. So they cut away, they show a picture of the station, and we come back, and Rom's trying to fix something. And right after saying, gosh, I could get some hero worship. I wish I went on adventures and people liked me. Then he comes up and finds Rom and goes, oh, by the way, the Dominion, the Dominion has kidnapped Moogie. Yeah, our mother. Yeah, that's the ticket. Totally unbelievable.
So it was originally supposed to be Zek that got kidnapped, but Wallace Shawn was not available to film the episode. So they made a little change, and that's why he's not, you know, shown talking to Quark.
It just looked really suspicious to me, because at this point I'm thinking, oh, well, this is clearly a scam that Quark is doing. He's going to, like, trick everybody into thinking he's a hero by doing something. You know, because we didn't see the Nagus. All we have is Quark's word on all of this, which is worth, you know, squill. Exactly.
That squill's very valuable. There's a shortage, you know.
Apparently. I'm so goddamn emotionally invested in that. I can't even tell you. All right, so we cut back, and Rom and Quark are crawling through Jeffrey's tubes for some reason.
Well, you know, Rom's,
I think it's one of those things. Well, Rom was fixing something, and Quark sort of moseys in, and they just start having a walk and talk, and kind of forget that why they're even in there to begin with.
They start the scene where they're outside in a room. They open up the hatch, and then they crawl in.
Yeah, because Rom was supposed to go in to fix something,
I guess, but they just start crawling.
Quark was just tagging along.
The thing is, though, like, Rom starts to go in first because Rom knows where he's going and what he's supposed to be doing, and Quark pulls him back out and then goes in front of him.
That's true. That's true.
And Rom is too stupid to really realize what's going on.
Well, yeah. But one of the weird things about this episode, Iggy Pop, the shirtless wonder, the piece of human beef jerky that he is in this episode and does a fantastic job.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we're getting ahead of ourselves there.
Yeah. But I just saw his name come up in the credits, so just we knew he was going to be in this episode.
Yeah, spoiler, Scott.
Sorry, guys. Sorry for the spoilers. So, yeah, because Zek is banging Quark's mom.
It was probably Rom didn't even know.
Well, Rom wasn't home that week.
He's trying to lick the wallpaper clean.
Oh, the Quark never mentioned it to him.
Oh, yeah, by the way. Now, it's about the Nagus and Moogie. What about them? They're lovers. He just says it.
No.
Again, every time that Quark or Rom are on screen, they just steal everything because they're just so committed to their characters. It's just a joy to watch them.
And Rom is great as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rom is excellent. Quark is excellent. I love watching both of them. And they just pop out in Cisco's office. And Cisco looks guilty as shit, like he just minimized his window. Do you see the way he turns around and looks? It's like, and then it doesn't pan down to his lap. He looks super fucking guilty.
Well, it's boring sitting in that office all day.
Yeah, he didn't have any paperwork. He didn't have a pad. He didn't have shit. Nothing.
He had nothing to do but play with his ball.
I get the feeling that's on the original script. They're supposed to break into Cisco's bathroom while he's taking a shit and reading the paper. And someone corrects him, you know, Starfleet doesn't have bathrooms. You can't write
that. Yeah, but
it's a his office then.
But it's a Cardassian station. They must have bathrooms.
Cardassians don't poop either. I think they lay eggs.
Oh. They don't really have a bathroom. They just have, like, an egg carton.
Yeah.
Right.
All right, I'm out.
No, I'd like to see a Starfleet newspaper, which is just a pad 4 times bigger with a hinge in the middle.
Oh, something Apple will invent soon.
Yeah. The iNews or something.
N-O-O-Z. News.
All right, so... That's too much like noose.
So... What was it, iNuge, like an Apple version of Ted Nugent.
Oh.
Well, they're about the same level of relevance nowadays, I guess.
I like that, you know, when they finally get out into a corridor, Quark just kicks the panel off the wall. Mm-hmm. And the people walking by don't even, like, give it a second look.
No, I mean, they're used to seeing rats and Ferengis crawling through the corridors in Jeffrey's tomb.
I think Quark doesn't care if there's a person on the other side of it or not.
Right.
Also, that the panels are designed to just pop right off like that.
Oh, yeah.
It's a safety feature.
Yeah. One of the other famous things on DS9 is there's a really popular like meme that went on for a while where it had like a Ferengi like pulling a piece of pizza down the stairs into a Jeffrey's tube.
What?
Oh, never mind. All right. No,
never mind. Oh, and the other nice touch is nobody bothers to pick up the panel after they get out. They just go and walk away.
No, yeah. Rom sets it back in.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Oh. Damn it, Rom, you're ruining all my fun.
So
as usual.
Well, so, no, the person ruining all the fun is Nog.
Yes. Which is hilarious. So Quark and Rom are trying to figure out, we gotta go save Moogie. So, okay, we gotta get a bunch of mercenaries. We're gonna go to the Dominion and we're gonna kick their asses and we're gonna break in and just, it's gonna be awesome. We're gonna hire mercenaries. And Quark's like, no, just Ferengi. Just Ferengi. Then we'll all die. And then I like how Quark keeps saying this the entire fucking episode. We can be just as tough as Klingons.
You have to think that's a writer's callback to the original pitch for the Ferengi from 87.
Yeah. But they never go as far as to specify it.
Right.
Yeah. So the Negus offered them, for some reason, 50 bars of latinum to save their own mother.
Well, the thing, yeah, I mean, can you imagine Quark and Rom going and doing this without any money involved?
Yeah.
I can imagine Rom doing it.
Only because it's Moogie.
Ah, but see, Rom wants to hire people anyway, so he doesn't want to go and personally do it. And if there's no reward money, there's no money to hire someone with.
I think Rom doesn't want to do it because he knows he's going to die because he's not a fighter.
Well, yeah.
So the first person they ask, of course, is Nog.
Because he knows how to fire a phaser.
Yes. So he's a... So what, he's an ensign engineer? Is that what he is?
Yes.
Okay. One thing I do like about this, I love his costume and his uniform because he has the headband, but it's in the same like material as his uniform.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
Now, what I basically sort of piece together about the headband things is that it's either a makeup shortcut... Or it's for people's heads that can't support a back prosthetic. Hmm. Like if they don't want to shave their head or something along those lines.
Oh, that's a good idea. I never thought of it that way.
I think more to the point, like, Quark just goes without one so that he's distinct from all the other Ferengi.
Well, but think... also, Armin Sherman's basically pretty bald, so it's probably pretty easy to get prosthetics to glue to the back of his head.
Right, exactly.
But if an actor does not want to shave their hair off...
Why wouldn't they want to shave their hair off?
Hey, keep in mind, this is also the mid-90s. This is the age of the Billy Ray Cyrus, where all of the guys had long hair in the back.
See, you'd think in that case they would design the prosthetic to just clip into the hair, since there's so much of it back there. Just, you know, like braid the mullet into a rope and then loop it through the back of the prosthetic.
I was asked one time, can XV overthink anything? And I said, I think so. So I feel pretty confident.
Who asked you that?
You know, people.
Like who?
I get fan letters all the time, and I try to respond to as many as I can.
Oh.
Yeah, and that
I'm
was
writing them all.
I wonder why it was always every single letter was in the handwriting of a 14-year-old girl.
That's our Mickey.
It's very bubbly.
Don't you just love how he dots his eyes with hearts, too?
Yes, exactly. So now Quark and Rom are trying to figure out, trying to get the team together. I mean, this is basically the Expendables is what this is.
But you skipped over that. In order to get Nog on board, they basically had to promise him that he would be their Worf.
Yeah, that's true. He said, you'll be our tactical officer or whatever he
strategic operations officer.
That we never listen to and that always gets injured first.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
That sounds about what happens to Nog, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Nog's position on the team is to be the one who always has the best idea and no one ever listens to it.
So this is like playing a D&D game a lot. All right, mages in the back, fighters in the front. Okay, I'm a mage. I run him and hit him with my staff. God damn it. All right, so the first guy they pick, and I have to admit, the characters in this episode are pretty fantastic. So the first one they pick is Lek, who is a
terrifying?
Goddamn psychopath. He's an assassin Ferengi.
I love his voice.
I know.
Like, there's just this hint of an accent in it that makes it sound unique, but also is just, it, like, almost makes him sound personable.
Mm-hmm.
But he's so creepy then. It's a really cool build.
It really is. And I love the fact that he's, like, sharpening this knife like this mm-hmm. laser thing, and he's just, oh, he's so unique. What a great character.
He's still interested in acquisition. He just wants to acquire
kills.
Yeah.
Right. Challenge. He wants the challenge of a hard kill. Holy shit, that's awesome. And Quark
does know the Frignies that are badasses.
Yes, he does. And he knows how to play them. He's like, oh, we'll give you money. He's like, I'm not interested in money. And he goes, well, fine then. I mean, Quark immediately knows how to entice him because he's a good negotiator.
Yeah.
Because Quark is a capable character, which is nice.
Oh, yes, absolutely. That's one of the best aspects of Quark through the entire series. He's always capable of getting done what needs to get done, just not in any of the ways you would expect him to on the surface of it.
Right.
And not in any way that most other characters respect, which is why, if you don't look at it more, he just comes across as a joke most of the time.
Right, but he's really, really not. I mean, Quark's one of those people I honestly would not want as an enemy. You know what I mean? I mean, I would annoy him, but I wouldn't want him to make him like an actual enemy, you know, where if he was out to get me, man.
You want the Odo relationship with him.
Right. Yes. Right.
Where you're secretly banging.
Mutual grudging respect. But you can't stand each other.
Mutual grudge fucks.
A little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. So the second guy they get is a cousin of Quark's, who Quark has screwed over, and of course who's sitting in a Federation Starfleet brig somewhere in some station.
That was the subject of an earlier episode.
Oh. And that's exactly what it sounded like.
You okay there, Fort Max?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's allergic to bullshit.
I thought Paladin was on the show for a second.
You know, if Fort Max is allergic to bullshit, this is totally the wrong place to be.
Yeah, he needs an EpiPen. He's going to go in anaphylactic shock.
Fort Max swole 3 sizes that day.
Whoa. Impressive. All right. All right, back to DS9.
We've missed you, Fort Max.
We're not doing Voyager just because we love you.
But if Ken came back, we would do Voyager because we don't love him.
Right. That's absolutely right. So glad he doesn't listen to this podcast.
He might. Hi, Ken. He probably doesn't. He's not that interested in Star Trek.
Mm.
And I don't think he likes us that much.
Probably not. I mean, he did not respond at all to the dick pics I sent him. I mean, nothing.
Well, I mean,
give them yours.
His hands were probably full. I think it might have been hard for him to type a response.
So we're back on DS9. We've got the team together. And Nog is trying to whip these idiot Ferengi into shape. And he's trying to assert dominance by using Starfleet rules. And everyone's about to strangle him.
He's being a school teacher. Nobody likes a school teacher.
Yeah, he's being kind of a dick.
He is being the person who has just graduated from basic training and is now super hardcore about everything.
Yeah.
Or someone who just graduated with like a bachelor's degree and thinks of the shit.
Same difference.
Educated. Yeah, it's the same thing. It really is.
Yeah.
I've met both.
And also, he's got short man syndrome. And he's a first Ferengi in Starfleet, which means he has to be the most Starfleet Ferengi of all time.
Right.
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
It's really a fantastic place to take his character.
It really kind of is.
Well, especially since, like, by the end of season two, you could tell they didn't really have any other ideas how to develop him.
Yeah, I'm just glad they didn't have Jake go into, like, Starfleet, because that would have been annoying.
Well, no, it's a lot better that Jake didn't also, because, like, the obvious thing to do would be to have him follow in his father's footsteps, but no, like, have a human who decides, you know, this whole Starfleet thing is just not for me.
Yeah, because it killed my goddamn mother.
He could follow in his mother's footsteps and be dead.
And I don't even know if the whole, you know, it killed my mother thing is even a factor. And I think it's just, it's not the person he is. And that's right. Really cool.
Yeah, that's the real answer.
Because anyway. You don't see a lot of humans in a Star Trek series that are not members of Starfleet.
That's because most Star Trek series take place on a starship.
I was going to say, it's by necessity, but, like, you get my point, though. That's not a facet of the society that you really get a lot of focus on.
No, that's all true.
So it's, again, one of those cool things Deep Space Nine can do uniquely.
Right. So as Nog is trying to whip these idiots into shape, they start realizing, wait, we don't even have a ship? And Cork is like, we'll get a ship. Like, where? Where are you going to get a ship that can get to the Dominion?
So I have a question here. You know how Cousin Gala was in the Starfleet prison somewhere on a space station that wasn't Deep Space Nine?
Mm-hmm.
How'd they get there?
I kind of thought that they were in the security prison there on DS9.
No, they showed a picture. They showed an establishing shot of a station.
Oh, well. They beamed there.
that took a light sail ship. Yeah. So, this Andorian, I mean, Vorta, wait. Wait, who's this guy again? So, Frankie shows up, who's Liquidator Brunt, who everybody hates.
Liquidator Brunt.
Former Liquidator.
Former. Liquidator Brunt.
That's just as bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who just comes in and just fan-fucking-tastic as a Ferengi.
Well, he's fantastic as anything. What
Brunt is, he has small ears.
Yeah.
Which is basically a visual clue that he has no dick.
Mm-hmm.
He is the Walter Peck of Ferengi.
No, it's true. The man has no dick. So... yeah, he comes in and says, I heard about this. I heard you need a ship. I'm here for my cut. And they realize that they kind of have to do it. And Brunt goes, sure.
No, but like you're skipping over.
No, you don't want me? Fine. I'll just leave on my ship.
And then as he's walking toward the door, the knife embeds in the wall. And Lex all, did you say ship?
Mm-hmm.
I love that line.
Yeah, this episode is really put together very well. Yep, there's six of them.
Meanwhile, in a papier-mâché cave.
Well, I would say slightly later in a papier-mâché cave.
Well, it's slightly later in a papier-mâché cave.
Okay.
The Jim Hadar bring out Mookie.
Mookie!
Wow, this plot's advancing fast.
Oh, and Cork gets shot in the leg, and he runs, and Rom screams, and it's just pandemonium. The Jem'Hadar just kind of stand there, swivel their hips very slightly, and just shoot them all to death.
Well, yeah, except for Lek, who decides to take out Ishka.
Boogie! I love his reasoning for this, too. So Nog comes out and he goes, you know, in program. It was a simulation. This is like their sixth time doing it, and they still run and scream like little girls. And you shot Moogie! He's like, well, we weren't going to rescue her. I was just going to put her out of her misery. Fan-fucking-tastic.
Shoot the hostage.
Yeah. I like to make a point, they're making fun of Bolians. A bunch of Ferengi are making fun of Bolians. you couldn't take on a bullion, you know. It's like, oh yeah, bullions suck. It's like, really? This is how we're going to do racism now? So this is the pecking order? The bullions smell bad. That's about it. Come on.
They just smell a little blue.
So they realize that the assault tactics aren't going to work, and they're trying to figure out what to do.
Maybe we should do what we're good at.
And there's Quark kind of lovingly rubbing Squill on his face. He's working that bottle like it gave him jewelry.
He better be careful, otherwise he's going to get, you know, a sticky surprise.
Mm-hmm. That's the best kind of surprise.
If your sticky surprise is red, see a doctor.
So when we're done with the podcast, I got to make a phone call. So Rom has a genius idea. He's like, wait a minute, we're negotiators. They have something we want, so we need to find something they want so we can trade for it. Because, you know, we're goddamn Ferengi. So they're trying to figure out, what do we have to trade? And, of course, at this point, I'm thinking, like, Federation secrets. I'm thinking, like, all kind of horrible things.
They're going to trade DS9 to him.
Yeah, right. Like, when Quark's eyes just suddenly light up at that suggestion, and you know he's thinking of something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just...
I've got a space bridge we could sell you.
It goes to Asgard.
Or Cybertron.
Oh, yeah. That would have been more relevant. I know. So, yeah, I figure they're going to come up with like some terrible thing like a fake deed to DS9, or they're going to sell out the Federation, you know? We've got, like, the shield cycle codes or something we'll sell to you. I'm like, oh, my God. But, no, it was actually really weird. And Kira's like, oh, we owe you one. Let me fillet you and give you whatever you want.
I wouldn't go
here,
that far.
Here's one of our prisoners.
Right. What? Which I don't understand at all. I mean, Sisko's just like, yep, here you go. Here's a Vorta. We just, you know. We're done with him. I mean, you know, give him free room and board for a while.
Basically, it's a Jedi mind trick of you will move the plot along.
Yeah, kind of.
There's quite a bit of that in this episode.
I mean, they've had him for, like, half the season. You could assume they've already squeezed any secrets he has out of him, and he's just taking up space now.
Pretty much all Vorta are good at, anyway, taking up space.
Yeah,
I don't really mind them pushing past these sticky points of the plot, because that's not what this episode's about.
Right.
It's about Ferengi going off on adventure.
Yeah.
Yes.
So screw anything that gets in the way of that.
Right.
But I'm very cognizant. I'm aware that they're aware of what they're doing. Yeah, this doesn't make much sense, but who cares what's going? Like, well, okay, yeah, I'm with you on it. Let's go.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right, I mean, how would they trust a Vorta with a group of Ferengi that they don't know, and Quark? I mean, that makes no sense. They don't trust Quark with anything. Where they go, yeah, here's a prisoner. You just kind of go do whatever. Because Quark is a known liar. He could have told them anything. And they're like, oh, no, it's fine. We believe you. It's good.
Well, the thing about the Vorta, like, in all the dealings, the Vorta have never really been themselves aggressive or, like, dangerously hostile. They're fucked up in the head for sure, but they're not, like,
going to...
Yeah, they're passive. They're not going to, like, stab somebody between the eyes just because they have a chance.
Right. But what military organization is going to hand over a prisoner of war to some civilians?
Right.
Another country.
A known criminal civilian.
I'm not arguing that point. It's just, like, the Vorta's not dangerous for them to have possession of because Vorta aren't dangerous physically.
I agree with you. You're totally right, but I don't think that's the point.
They're not dangerous physically, but giving a Vorta to some people who aren't smart enough to control them, they can become very dangerous tactically.
Yes, right. I agree.
All right. So
like the chance of a Vorta outsmarting a Ferengi,
pretty high. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's why there's 6 Ferengi that makes the chances of outsmarting all of them lower. Not only zero, but lower.
Right, only because one of them's a goddamn psychopath. So they get onto their little, it's a cute little shuttle. It's an adorable little shuttle.
It's a soda can.
Yeah, it's a little soda can with fins. canards. So they all squeeze in, and here comes in Quark. They squeeze in, and there's the coolest looking Vorta ever. And Rom's reaction is goddamn hilarious. Hey, I'm Rom. This is Quark. That's Nog. Hi.
Rom, he doesn't care.
Rom is like a golden retriever. Hey. Yes. I don't know you, but I kind of love you. Hey. Oh, it's so funny. So, of course, the Vorta is just cool. So the cucumber is like, yeah, this sucks. We're all going to die. I'm going to go take a nap.
I
totally get
that. Like, Rom's the golden retriever. The Vorta is a cat.
Indeed. So now we go to DS 8.5.
Impoc Nor.
Yeah.
Is this Impoc? Like Taco Bell caramel filled dessert. The Empanada Nor.
A black empanada? Empanada, yep. Noir?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because they did the black buns for Star Wars. Why not, like, you know, black Mexican food for Star Trek? It makes just as much sense.
And it makes your shit just as green.
Now with Vulcan shits. Bully shits, more like it. Burn the porcelain.
Oh, speaking of awkward shits, I noticed at Kroger the other day, they're selling in the store brand Dorito-flavored taco shells.
Okay, let me pause the episode. Go on.
Which I find interesting because, like, the Taco Bell branded home taco products don't even have that yet.
Huh. Do they have different flavors of Doritos?
I've only noticed the nacho cheese.
Oh, because really the Cool Ranch ones are where it's at.
The Cool Ranch ones are good. I like the nacho cheese ones in general just because, like, there's a visual cue to it. And I like orange things.
Fort Max,
you mean you
save
have a...
us.
Yeah, Fort Max, tell us where the nacho cheese is.
Don't know.
Is it in the gun or the basement?
It's in the toll road.
I think it's on Highway 75.
Love you, Fort Max.
All right, so they make it to the DS.
Wait, before we go on, what is up with Kroger's new logo?
Yeah, what is up with that? Who are these people?
It just looks like they just stopped trying about three steps into the brainstorming process and just, fuck it, choose that when we're done.
So they got like a step and a half. They got a step and a half farther than the current Transformers logo?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
So do I need to look up the new Kroger logo? Because we don't have those out in California.
Yeah, sure. Let's look that up.
Okay, I'm Googling.
Let's look that up.
Kroger logo.
That's Kroger with a K, Scott.
I know. Chad Kroger. Let's see. So it's just a blue oval with a K.
No, that's not it.
Oh. I guess they haven't updated the website.
Oh, he's going to send it to me. Okay, all right. So he's sending it to me. Right. Okay, I clicked it. Go. Wait. Which one is it?
The one on the left is the new one.
Well, that's just for their gas station.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Well, regardless, that logo makes no goddamn sense.
No.
Yeah, the one left makes no sense. It's like a diamond-shaped thing with, like, four curvy colors at the edges, and it doesn't mean anything. It looks vaguely like a representation of the United States.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Mine
not very well?
No. I mean, but the Kroger logo itself, when it's Kroger, they just made it Web 2.0. They just made it glossy and 3D looking. It's just Web 2.0.
Yeah.
That's all they did.
Yeah, no, they've had that left logo for their gas stations for quite a while.
Okay, well, I thought that was just their new store logo as well, because I saw it next to the store.
Yeah, because of the gas.
I don't think I associated it. I didn't realize it was just for the gas station part.
Okay.
So, what, like, the Kroger CEO married Yoko Ono or something? She's got to come in and, like, art up everything.
The bakery just makes shrill noises and bangs pots and pans together.
Yeah, that sounds like a Kroger bakery. having eaten some bread from Kroger just a couple hours ago.
Well, just be glad it's not Food City.
We don't have those here.
Be glad.
I don't think they're legally allowed to be anywhere else. I think different states have different food safety regulations, maybe. I don't know.
All right.
All right, back at it. So they make it to the knockoff DS9. Is this Impoknor?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I thought it was like some other new one that they just kind of pulled out of their ass. I didn't know this was actually Impoknor.
Goatsynor, then, if they pulled it out of their ass.
Yeah, you can tell because it's off its axis.
That's how you know it's abandoned. The thing is, too, like, you know, what's it positioned near? Like,
space.
Deep Space Nine used to be in orbit of Bajor.
Right.
Now it's just kind of holding station by the wormhole. Like, there's a reason for it to be out in just, you know, space, not right by the planet.
Right.
What's Impoknor there for?
I have no idea. And my immediate question is, how does a space station that still works, that has atmosphere, not have squatters or people who have taken it over, like space pirates or something? How has nobody taken over the station?
I'm going to assume the Impoknor is located in a shitty stretch of empty space as sort of like a midway point between planets.
Maybe.
Like a highway rest stop. And the reason why no one's taking it over is because there's no value to being there.
But it's like atmosphere, and you can store stuff there, and you can hide there, and you can, I mean, I don't know.
But when, if you go out of your way to get there?
When Impoknor first appeared, it was all shut down. There wasn't any atmosphere turned on or anything, and there was also guards, let's say.
Oh.
I think when they left after that was all done, they just forgot to turn the air conditioning off. No, but like when they boarded it the first time, they were in, or Garak was in a spacesuit. He was the first one in. He turned everything back on.
He's good at that. All right. So the Fringi get on board, and Nog immediately takes over and says, okay, we're going to find a defensible position. We're going to set up the trade between the Vorta and Furmugi, and we're going to do this. And he comes up with very good plans. We're going to do it in the infirmary because it's defensible. And they all actually kind of do a pretty good job of setting everything up.
After Quark bribes them
to follow basically his orders. Yeah, because Nog tells them to do something, and they're like, screw you, little man. And, of course, Quark's like, look, I'll give you 2 slips to the first person to the infirmary.
And, like,
and then they Nog
makes a very Starfleet point of, you shouldn't have to pay your soldiers to do their job. Yes, Nog, a professional army is the best army. Pay the soldiers.
Yes. It was funny because, like, how does Nog not know this? He's a Fringi. It's not like he's new to Fringi culture.
Well, he is now. Starfleet's ruined him.
Oh, fucking brainwashed him. That's what happened. Starfleet brainwashed him.
Yep.
He's like 2 steps from being a stormtrooper.
Can you imagine squeezing those ears into a stormtrooper helmet?
Yes, I can. I can imagine squeezing those ears between plenty of things.
Oh.
Like my thighs.
Sorry. Oh, boogie.
Sorry. Did I say that out loud?
Oh, yeah. We forgot to mention how Quark's mother got kidnapped.
Did they really say?
Uh-huh. She was on her way back from Vulcan from getting her ears raised.
Yes.
She was having a boob job.
Uh-huh. Yeah, she was having an ear job. So that's the other thing I don't understand. So between Vulcan and
Ferenginar,
like Bajor, more or less, like the Dominion can just slip in there? That's like the heart of the Federation territory.
Well, not Bajor. She came from Ferenginar.
Uh-huh.
But Ferenginar is even closer to Vulcan than Bajor is.
Is it?
It is. I've seen
the
maps.
Well, how is the war going right now? Where is the Dominion taken over?
That's true. Yeah, they could have curled around and taken over that part of space, I guess. But that would also mean that, like, DS9 and all that is completely cut off from the rest of the Federation. And they don't see anything like that.
Okay, now I gotta look and see where this falls in the timeline.
Yeah,
well,
and look at that.
Start of Season 6, they had lost DS9, hadn't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had to retreat out of it.
Oh, wow, that sucks. So, Rom... And now the Fringi start doing their thing, which is really kind of cool to see because they're all specialists. They're all good at what they do. And Rom goes, well, I'm going to set up a transporter inhibitor signal so they can't just beam away our prisoner. They can't just beam in on top of us. And it's like, oh, that's a really good idea. Wow, Rom. Thank you. Because that's not even like my ROM voice. That's just my golden retriever voice.
Well, same thing.
But the Vord is awesome. He's just so cool as a cucumber. It's like, yes, we're all going to die.
I suggest but you get your wills in order.
Yeah. So they start to discover, like, wait, they're going to kill you? If we give you back, they're going to kill you? And he's like, yeah, they're going to torture me for information, and then they're going to kill me, because why not? And Quark's like, I don't give a shit. Screw you, they have my mom. And they set up a guard, and they're actually acting kind of like professionals.
Yeah.
Kind of. Yeah.
Yeah, more or less.
Okay, so a little later in the season, in the Pale Moonlight, it has the Dominion conquering Beta Zed.
Oh, wow. So that's like real close.
So it's not inconceivable there could be some Dominion ships close enough to intercept the transport between Vulcan and Ferenginar.
Nope, point taken. I'd buy that. I'd buy that for a dollar. Impot Nor, which is at an angle. Now, here's what I don't understand. Look at the space station. It's clearly tilted, but they're standing on the floor. They should all be, like, walking on the wall. What the hell? Kidding.
I knew that's where you were going with that.
So they get woken up by girlish screaming, and the Vorta is gone. So Quark knows that he's immediately going to the ship. Quark heads off down the corridors, runs down the same corridor like 6 times, like in a Monty Python sketch.
Or a Doctor Who episode.
Yeah, that's what they need as part of the junk in this scene, is like a fucking TARDIS on its side. So Quark pulls out his little gun, he's running to the ship, they're all Scooby-Dooing around the station looking for him, down the same goddamn corridors.
And I like that the whole situation developed just because Gala went to sleep while guarding the Vorta.
Right. Like he was tired.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, I like this too. It's like, oh, going somewhere? The Vorta's like, oh, apparently not. And Quark's like, well, you couldn't have taken off anyway because I turned off the engines. Or I had Rom turn off the engines. And he's like, well, then why did you run here if I couldn't leave? He's like, well, sometimes my brother fucks up. And I still had to hurry to make sure. So they drag the Vorta back off the shuttlecraft. And the alarm goes off. Dominion alert! Dominion alert!
Their disco siren.
That's what it sounded like. It's just my voice going, Dominion alert! And they all scurry back to the infirmary. Knocking over that poor barrel again and again. You know which one I'm talking about.
Yeah. More like tripping over it this time.
Yeah.
It was trying to get its revenge.
So surely, you know, the Dominion just sent like 2 or 3 Jem'Hadar, right?
Well, yeah, because they're a precious commodity. They don't have that many Jem'Hadar. They don't, you know, goddamn breed them in tanks or anything.
Well, they do, but they do that back home.
Oh, there's not a lot of room to breed in a tank.
It depends how big the tank is.
Sure is fun to try. So, they hear noises. They think something's out there, so they send Quark out there to go look.
That's a good touch, too. Like, their first sign that they're actually outside is they're sitting on the floor, and they just hear it because they're Ferengi.
Right, right. And I like that, too. That was a nice touch. Because, yeah. You know, again, Frankie should be good at certain things. So Nog goes, no, I'm brave. I'll do it. So he goes out, sets down his gun, which I like, so he can creak open the door and peek through. And he looks up, and there are about 6 dozen Jem'Hadar lined up with their guns trained on him. I like Quark comes around the corner. He's got that little noisy cricket pistol.
Are they out there?
You can say that. You can say it, but it would sound funny. So it cuts back to the infirmary and like all the Gimli and the rest of the dwarves. You know it's true. You know what this is. they all just kind of look shell-shocked and terrified. But I like how I think one of them goes, you know, everything's actually going according to plan. This is what we wanted. This is going exactly how we wanted it to go.
It goes like, why are we hiding? Because there's Jem'Hadar out there. We invited them.
This is what our plan was. But the Vorta is just like, they're not going to negotiate. They're just going to kill every one of us. So now there's a Vorta out there who's going, Ferengi, show yourselves.
There's no Vorta out there, just Iggy Pop.
See, I didn't really recognize him because he's wearing a shirt.
And they took off most of his makeup.
Yeah, oh, like Pulaski that one time.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, he looks healthier and more hale and hearty than he does normally. So Quark ends up, takes command of the situation, pulls Nog and Rom with him. And they stride out confidently, which is really kind of cool to see. Although Quark is wearing a fanny pack, so I'm starting to question him.
I mean, if there's one thing a Ferengi should be good at, it's the poker face.
Yeah. So they step out to the promenade, which is literally just ringed with Jem'Hadar. And there's Iggy Pop, Moogie, and a couple more Jem'Hadar. A few meaningful looks.
Iggy Pop does look amazing as a Vorta.
Yes, he does.
I mean, his natural features work very well with that makeup.
That very long face that he has and the bony cheeks.
Yeah.
It's really the cheeks that make it work, too.
Yeah.
Like, just like his mouth area, everything, he just looks kind of alien anyway.
He's got that Ron Perlman muzzle thing going on.
Yeah.
And I love his delivery for his lines.
Yes.
Oh, man. He devours this part. I'm sorry, but he devours this fucking part. I love him as a Vorta.
I mean, he's kind of more fun than Wayoon.
Yes.
Wayoon comes across as being kind of smarmy and yeah. Iggy comes across as kind of amused by everything.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, not.
Yeah, but still serious, and you don't kind of want to fuck with him. You know, he's patient, he's reasonable, but he's like, look, let's just get this over with. Do this or I will kill you. And he makes it very clear he really doesn't care. He would just rather slaughter everybody. But and he does have some honor, though, so it's very interesting. Mm-hmm. I just love the way he talks. So they start negotiating, and Quark just balls out, just says, look, this is what's going to happen. Lobes out, whatever. And says, no, you're going to follow our demands. You're going to get all these Jem'Hadar. They're going to get on the ship, and they're going to leave, and it's going to be you and these two Jem'Hadar. Look, we're three Ferengi. What are we going to do? And, of course, the great thing they played on their arrogance, the Dominion's arrogance, because the Vorta's like, yeah, sure. What are you pathetic little Ferengi going to do? And agrees to the terms. It's amazing.
Well, and then they have to make sure, though, that Ishka's not a changeling.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So they cut her hand off.
Yes, Nog just strolls up without a word, whips out a knife, and slashes her across the hand.
Right.
Which is made all the better because then she decides to test and see if he's a changeling by pummeling him over the head.
Yes. By a little thing we like to call domestic abuse.
That's not how you tell a changeling. All right, give me the knife.
There's so many good lines in this episode. It was very, very much an enjoyable episode.
Mm-hmm. I like that one of the concepts of it, too, is just bring together all of the Ferengi guest characters they've had through the series.
Yeah.
Minus Zek, which we covered before.
Yeah.
And apparently Lek was actually in an episode before, too, just not in a speaking role.
Mm. Like Vorta is kind of like, I don't have any parents. I was cloned. Poor Rom is all like, no parents? That explains a lot.
And then Ishka's all, no parents, no sweetheart, no investment portfolio.
And no patience.
No inheritance.
It's like they're not even alive.
Yeah. Remember, Boogie loves you. And she gets dragged away by them, and they start laughing. So they're back in the infirmary, laughing it up, going, yay, we didn't die. Everything's going to work. We're going to survive this. Holy shit, it's awesome. And everything's going fine. Everything is perfect. Their plan is working. These are the best Fringy ever.
We're going to get that those 50 bars of gold plus fresh platinum.
Woo, 50 bars. That's right, everybody.
Record scratch.
Yeah. So, and then the Fringy start tearing each other apart.
Well, not
ripping them off.
Yeah, not each other so much. They just all kind of want to take it out of Quark.
Right. And they all scream.
And it turns out to be his cousin that wants to deliver the fatal shot. Which kind of makes sense because it's his fault that he, you know, fell into financial ruin.
Right. Takes a shot and hits the Vorta right square in the chest, whose last words are,
I hate Ferengi.
So then he falls to the ground, stone dead. And the next scene, which I can only imagine is any porn star who's ever done a bukkake scene's worst nightmare. So you stand up, and there are 6 Ferengi looking down, ear to ear, and all you see is their faces. You idiot. So everything's going great. Now their collateral is gone. They have nothing to trade. They have, what, like an hour before the trade's supposed to happen?
Let's sneak back to our ship and leave.
Maybe if they surrender, they won't hurt us. Yeah, that's a really good idea. That's a winner.
And then Nog pipes up in the background. Well, he's dead.
Yeah, I love that. I like, no,
welcome
course,
to
I like
20
Rom.
Minutes ago.
I like Rom's plan the best. It's a big station. Let's just hide. What? Maybe they'll just get bored and leave. Quark regales us with the tale of some battle in their history where a couple Ferengi stood against a bunch of other people that no one knows about and they all died. But they were brave. They died bravely.
Too bad it wasn't the battle of Ferengi versus Bolians. That would have been a nice callback to earlier in the episode.
Yeah.
This pathetic war between the Ferengi and the Bolians.
Right. Great slap fight massacre of Omicron 3.
It was the war of movie color tinting, orange versus blue.
So before they decide to go out and die, Nog has a great idea.
Yeah.
When he gets smacked in the face by to this corpse.
Well, you know, he accidentally gets smacked in the face by a corpse. And, you know, that sparks an idea.
Sparks an idea.
Let's do something incredibly disrespectful.
Oh, come on, he's a Vorta. I mean, he doesn't even have a family.
Yeah. Hey, Mickey, why would you possibly have an opinion on this?
Well, Mickey doesn't like to talk about this, but he got weakened at Bernie's one time. And it's a sensitive subject.
Right.
And I had to watch the commentary.
Wait, and you're still alive? You're still with us?
Well, he might be, or somebody
no,
might just be puppeting his corpse around. We can't really tell.
There is someone else here now.
So they go out. Quark goes out to stall them while Nog tries to rig up this dead body to electroshock it to Walt. They, yes, to weaken to Bernie's, this poor Vorta. So Quark goes out to stall him and just does a little tap dance. Iggy Pop is like, whatever, dude, just 5 minutes, man. Come on. I got Vorta shit to do somewhere else. Because that's kind of my question. Is like, what does this Vorta have to do exactly? Why is he impatient? What?
He's got a concert to go to.
Yes.
He's missing his nap time. That's why he's getting cranky.
So then they changed the venue to be basically the corridor right next to the ship, or to the shuttle pod.
And Iggy's like, why? And they're like, because it's closer to our ship.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Because, you know, we want to be able to escape. And Vorta's like, no, that's actually a good point. I don't blame you a bit. Yeah, because he just kind of smiles and goes, yeah, no, it's, I understand. I mean, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's the whole exchange, too. Like, you know, Quark's like, okay, we'll make the exchange, but first we have to scan and make sure that your ship's really gone. No, I told you they're gone. They're gone.
Right.
Trade why now. Would
why would I lie? So apparently Nog has got the dead body rigged up. And so it cuts to the corridor. And I like this, too, that Moogie is, like, giving financial advice to the Vorta. And she's just like, look, this cream is really good. Feel my head. See how smooth that is? It's a great
investment.
Feel
the ears. Yeah, feel
it. Yes. Oh, two fingers. Oh, I'm sorry. Two. I meant three.
You know what? Just make a fist.
Fisting Grandma Moogie's ears. So there's the Vorta standing there with his head all cocked to one side.
I love that Kimon's like, what did they do to him?
Yeah, I know. Oh, I love it. Moogie waves goodbye to the Vorta. And they slowly start making their way across the corridor. And that's the sound it makes.
No, I think that's the sound of the ear fisting.
You don't want to know what I had to do to make that sound.
Fisted your ear?
Maybe.
Flapped your belly around?
Fisted your belly?
I have a very large belly
button.
I
assume it was channeling Ryoma.
So... Kievan the Vorta starts listing to the port, or starboard,
no,
rather. Starts listing starboard.
Kievan is Iggy Pop, isn't he?
No, Kievan's the one they have. I forgot the name of Iggy Pop's.
Shoot, what is his name?
Yeah, I don't remember. So
I gotta look now.
Now look it up. So they get Moogie, and they run like hell. So so frickin' assassin throws a dagger, kills a Geomador in one hit by a dagger in the chest. The other dude come around the corner, blast him with phasers, and it's fucking awesome.
Rom kills a Geomador.
Yes!
Also, holy Iggy Pop was awesome. Yelgrin.
Oh, so cool. So now, they have a dead Vorta, but now they have another prisoner in exchange for the one that they took from the Federation.
This one has all new secrets.
Yep.
I guess.
And I gotta say, the look on his face, too, of him being fooled by a bunch of Ferengi.
While Bernie just keeps bumping into the corridor.
I know! Oh, that's so messed up.
Can you turn him off? No, it's jammed! And then they all start laughing at it.
I know.
And then jump the high five, freeze frame, fade to black.
Yes.
Well, see, but then what I wanted was a fade back in from the black. You think it's over, and then it says 2 weeks later, and there's this horribly decayed, shambling corpse wandering around in Pot Noir. falling apart at the seams. Terrifying. Left on a space station in the middle of nowhere to bonk into a wall for all eternity.
You know, when Dukat goes back there in season 7, he must have found something really interesting when he got through the airlock.
What the hell is that smell? It smells like dead Vorta in here. Like Vorta jerky. And then Rick Berman and Stephen Bear. Yay. All in all, a very good episode. But I feel a little robbed because this is a Quark episode. Quark, again, gets by on his wits and stuff. The whole thing was he wanted the hero worship. It was, I mean, everything was put to on point. I mean, they were so transparent about it. There's no twists in any of it, except for the Vorta dying, but that was just, you know, a normal kind of plot twist. But there was no twisting where Quark actually created this situation to make himself look like a hero, or it was fake, or anything like that. It was just actually just an adventure.
Yeah, the whole point was for Quark to actually get to be a hero like he wanted to.
It's just, I don't know, the whole, like I said, the first, like, 10 minutes of the episode is just too convenient. It's like, oh, gosh, I sure wish I was on an adventure. And then, like, 2 seconds later, whisper, whisper, hey, want to go on an adventure? Sure. It's like, Stand By Me was written by an idiot. I mean, you know, more so. I mean... Hey, I'm pretty sure Stephen King doesn't listen to this podcast.
I'm pretty sure he wouldn't care what you had to say anyway.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's too busy rolling around in his, you know, Scrooge McDuck bin full of money.
He's probably too busy writing a novel in each hand.
Yeah, that's actually a better point. So, all in all, good episode, but I do feel a little bit robbed that all of it wasn't some ploy by Quark. I mean, it was
okay,
just,
but
it was
think,
just too...
Think about what Mickey said earlier, like...
No, I refuse to do that ever.
Fair enough, but still. No, like, you can see the elements that's stumbling over to make the story work, but it's mm-hmm. okay because it's in service of this Ferengi adventure story, which is awesome.
Right.
Like,
right.
This is an episode where you really have to, more than usual, like, just let go of the preconceptions and just accept what it's giving you.
It's true. It's such a one-off feeling episode, which is okay. It is what it is. Just, I don't know.
It's clearly a filler episode, but, you know.
But it's the best kind of filler
episode. It's a filler episode with a vision.
Look, this is the Goku and Piccolo learn to drive a car of Deep Space Nine.
Oh, my God.
Like, there's
an episode of that?
Yeah. Yes, there is a filler episode of Dragon Ball Z where Goku and Piccolo go drive cars.
That's
pretty awesome, I know.
No, when does that happen?
Pre-Androids, I think.
Well, that'd be...
Maybe.
Post-Frieza, though.
Well, yeah, so now they're all on Earth hanging out. So.
Let's see... Guess I'll look this up now.
Yeah, that's right, Google bitch.
Oh. The G2 set went up on Amazon and I missed it.
Well, keep looking. It keeps going in and out.
Oh.
That's... Wow. I do like watching videos of that. That's kind of my thing.
All right, let's see. Yeah, this is between the Trunks saga and the Android saga.
Okay, so I didn't
it's
watch
immediately
Trunks.
Before the androids appear.
So, but there was a little bit of character development too. Right? One thing, they really expanded upon Ferengi culture by showing that not all Ferengi are exactly the goddamn same. Mm-hmm. You know, they actually showed different ones, which I thought was cool.
We get to see another player character Ferengi.
Yes. Yes. yeah, because I'm
still Ferengi.
I frankly, I want to see a whole series based on the assassin Ferengi. I want to see him in his own show. I would watch that because it would be like Star Wars Bounty Hunters, but with Ferengi in like the underbelly of like outside of the Federation. That would
no,
be so
I want
cool.
to see a Ferengi version of Pickers.
I don't know what that is.
Pickers is that show on TV where they go around through people's garages.
Oh.
They, I'll give you $5 for this, and it's worth like $7,000.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And it's always like some bumbling, inbred redneck with a barn who's got like a Ferrari in it or something. He has no idea what he has. Yeah, I've seen those shows. Yes, that would be good. See, when you said Pickers, I thought it was like some obscure anime or something I'd never seen.
It sounds like one, though, doesn't it?
It does. It does to me.
No, but like, it's really fun getting a bunch of Ferengi together and just kind of letting the magic happen.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't really matter what they're doing either. That's the thing.
So in the Star Trek MMO, Nog gets up to be a captain of his own starship.
Well, in the Star Trek MMO, isn't everybody a captain?
Well, no. I mean, that's the rank he's attained. I mean, he's an NPC who's actually attained the rank of captain.
I don't know about that.
Well, why not? He's an ensign. He works his way up. It's also like in the year...
But he's in engineering.
Well, not everyone ranks all the way up to captain. I don't think Nog really is captain material.
Keep in mind, it's also like 30 years in the future, so he's not like young anymore. I mean, he's an adult and all that kind of stuff.
Well, but he's still 4 feet tall.
I just don't see Nog's path taking him to commanding his own ship.
Well,
maybe
that being what he's good at, or inspiring others, or
maybe at that point Starfleet's just, you know, hard up for good officers.
Well, that is also true. because all the wars and shit that are going on, and like how many people have died. Oh yeah, that's true too. But
that's why they got all these people on Earth playing video games to become captains.
Yeah,
fat basement dwelling nerds playing a Star Trek MMO. But yeah, he actually gets involved with Delta Quadrant stuff and like time travel and the Krenim and all that kind of thing. So he actually builds, like, he and a bunch of other people from different races build a time ship to go back and fix some shit in the galaxy. It's crazy.
Oh.
Yeah. So time travel, and they used basically the temporal weapon the Krenim used to create the Year of Hell. They basically harness that technology and go back and retcon shit with it.
So is it their fault that Voyager happened then?
No, but they did try to fix Romulus exploding. They couldn't do it without changing a bunch of other stuff.
Why would you want to fix that?
Well, because in the MMO, the Romulans, actually, what's left of the Romulans, the Republic, the Romulan Republic, are kind of good guys, and they start siding with the Federation and some side with the Klingons, but they're considered good guys. They're not the old-style, sneaky, sneaky, backstabby Romulans.
But they're still boring.
I don't know. I like them. I like Romulans. Screw you.
No, sorry, but your opinion's wrong.
Yeah.
Well, I know that. I mean, you've already stated that. That doesn't need to be discussed.
Like, it's amazing that somehow Romulans are more boring than Vulcans.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Vulcans are super boring.
Right, and Romulans are even more boring than Vulcans, which is kind of an accomplishment.
I don't know. Well, at least in the MMO, like, say, it's like post-destruction Romulus and all that. So now they have this, like, this refugee kind of thing going on. They're trying to struggle to stay alive as a species. And
I think in that situation, like, the Romulans should be driving around in these, like, tricked-out starships, all Mad Max style.
They do a bunch of new shit.
That would be too interesting.
Well, yeah, but, like, the Romulan society has fallen apart with their homeworld being destroyed, so they don't need to be boring anymore. Like, that part of their culture is just gone now.
Oh, they do start pulling ships out of mothballs, like the old original series Warbirds, the saucer plate ones. They start pulling those out of mothballs and trying to retool them. So they do that. Pulled old tech out and start trying to reuse it.
Doo-doo.
Yes, I said doo-doo.
Yeah, but they're not, like, covering them with chains and spikes and stuff.
No, they're not like Remans.
Yes, I still remember Nemesis existed. Good.
It's canon.
Good job, MMO.
It's canon. I can't help it.
So,
lots of things make canon not brought up again.
In the Star Trek MMO, do they have Picard's Jeep?
No, but now that you say that, I really fucking want it to tool around on planets with, oh my god, why haven't they made vehicles? Holy shit. To Twitter!
I think it'd be more fun to just drive one of those around the corridors of a ship. Like, I can just see Picard one day, you know, nothing's really going on, and, you know, some nameless crew members are walking down a corridor, and they hear this odd rumbling sound in the distance, and then...
Well, see, imagine that because it's like on the corridors are only so big, so I imagine he'd have more like a golf cart that he'd very irritatingly tool around the ship in because he's a lazy fuck. Morning crew. Yes, and they'll have like jump out of the way. He's like, move, I'm on my way. I need to be on the bridge. You know, he's like bonking his little horn.
And At some point, he's had Geordi retool the captain's chair so it can come off the mount on the bridge and transfer over to the golf cart. So he's always he always has his chair with him.
Yes.
And I assume that he controls that golf cart with Riker's joystick.
Yes.
No. It's a two-seater golf cart, and he just keeps an ensign with him who he gives navigation instructions to.
Turn left at this corridor. No, left, left! Yes.
No, my left!
It's the same left!
We're going clockwise, and it's a saucer section. I can't help but go left.
Wait, wouldn't that be counterclockwise? Like, if they're going clockwise in the saucer section, they'd be turning right all the time.
You know, somebody told me one time how pedantic. And, no, I'm just kidding.
That's not untrue. I mean.
Yeah. No, you're right. I'm glad you caught that. It was all a test. It's all a test.
Like, driving a golf cart around the starship is the opposite of NASCAR.
For many reasons. The more you think about that, yes, more of those things are very like opposite kind of things.
No, I just want some Star Trek media that has Picard driving a golf cart around the Enterprise.
Mm-hmm. That's like a season 8 thing. That's like a Star Trek TNG season 8 kind of concept.
And like, at some point you'd cut to the outside and he'd just be driving over the saucer section in a space suit.
Jumping off the dome.
Like Worf's on the bridge at Tactical and he just happens to glance up and a golf cart comes sailing over the sunroof.
It's like making like sun shafts come through like in slow motion because it's in space. Worf looks up and his eyes get all glittery. What? I think we could make Star Trek better.
Yeah.
So Somehow. Next week, we're going to do the original series?
Yes.
That was a really good episode. I kind of want to talk about it, but of course, we'll wait. But I really enjoyed that one.
Because I haven't watched all of it yet.
Oh, it's really good.
I watched the first 10 minutes and decided, yep. This is actually a Ben and David's suggestion for us to do for the show.
Oh, okay.
Oh, is it? Good. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not cutting up any of my royalties for them.
Because they spend a Sunday watching original series episodes. They decided that we need to do this one. So we're doing it.
Okay. Yeah.
It's an excellent, excellent choice.
So do they have any other, interesting thoughts on their day of watching Star Trek?
No. other than David's discovered that a lot of original series episodes are actually good.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. He thought they weren't?
Yes.
Yeah,
I think the only one he's really watched with me was the Gary 7 episode.
Oh, I guess that could give you a bad impression.
Yeah, which is, the Gary 7 episode is fucking terrible.
Yep.
Like, it's a bad episode of anything.
Yep.
I'll just say it's fine if you watch it for the first time when you're 8 and go with those memories.
Right. Yeah, because that's one of the, I think it was one of the first ones my fiance watched with me, and she looked at me like, you watch this shit? Really? You know, she gave me that, are you, what? Why? I'm like, no, this is a weird episode, you don't understand. This almost never happens.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
That's, I swear, baby.
You've made her watch Voyager with you, right?
Did she watch the Kes episode with me or not? She might have. I can't remember.
Okay, that's probably a bad example, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if I subjected her to that.
Because, like,
I showed her the news article and the mugshot, so I was like, here's why we're watching this episode. Look. Yeah, that's her. And I pointed to the screen. She's like, no. I'm like,
no. She did a ROM.
Yeah.
No.
Always hiding under these stairs and I love you.
Wait, what?
Nothing. Nothing at all. Nothing at all creepy.
That sounds like the plot to a horror movie.
But XV,
I've been hiding under these stairs, and I love you.
Especially your ankles. I can see when you go up and down the stairs. Those are the most delicious parts of you, XV.
Maybe that's how foot fetishes get started.
Nope, just the ankle.
No, I said get started.
Like it's a little depends on which direction they go from there.
Yeah, they expand outward, and sometimes it goes to the foot.
Like your mom.
Well, yeah, but you know.
All right. Well, I think I'm about out. I mean, I'm done. I mean, this episode was good. We made fun of it a little bit. I don't have any major complaint besides that I wish it was a plot that Quark came up with, but it was what it was, you know.
No, I still think it's better for it to be a genuine situation. Plus, if it's a plot Quark came up with himself, like, there'd be no payoff.
Well, the payoff would be that everyone thought he was a hero, but it was all him doing the machinations behind the scenes, and there was never any real danger. He would have done something like that.
I just think it kind of undermines Quark.
Oh, or does it improve him because he's that cunning?
Well, no, if he was that cunning, he wouldn't get caught.
No, that's what I'm saying. He wouldn't get caught. The episode would end with everyone thinking he's a hero, but, you know, he would, like, you know, walk around the corner with a pad and, like, end the program in the holodeck or something. I mean, I don't know.
No.
And the holodeck thing would have been cheap, obviously. I mean, it had to be more convoluted than that, but I don't know.
If it wasn't the holodeck, we wouldn't have gotten to the scene of their mom getting shot. So.
Fort Max is all about mothers getting shot. Good night, everybody.